Hello, hello, and welcome to the Seabets podcast. Hello, near and far. Those in Australia, England, America, we say hi. We love the fact that you follow us, that you join us on this journey of going deeper into the Bible as we understand, live, and then share the word of God that he's given us and he's put inside of our hearts. And so we're so glad and thankful that you get to join us, that you listen and you watch. And today we have a special guest who is not from the near, but from the far. Christoph, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much.
I got to know a little bit about you, but I think on this show we're going to get to really get to know the man, the myth, the legend, Christoph. Yes. What's your last name again?
And Domus.
Domus.
Oh, pretty cool last name. Ruben, what's your last name?
Cervantes.
Ah, and my last name is Pilz. And I think I have the coolest last name because my name means mushroom in German. So I think I'm the coolest. Yeah. Yeah, you know that. So you're originally from Berlin.
I was not born in Berlin, but okay. I lived since 17 years in Berlin.
Oh,
okay. With my wife, with my three kids. So,
wow.
But originally we're from South Germany.
From South Germany.
Yes, exactly.
And where are you now?
So now we live in Berlin.
You're still in Berlin.
Yeah, we're in Berlin. So we moved 2002 to Berlin.
Okay.
After school, in Germany you do a year of social work. And yes. Or you go to army, and I didn't want to go to army, so I wanted to do social work in Africa. The only NGOs I found were Christians.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't like Christians at all, so I decided I'm gonna not go to Africa but move to Berlin. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's how I came to Berlin.
Gosh.
What a story.
And then
are we safe? I mean, do you like Christians now?
I love Christians now.
Good, we're glad.
That's funny.
So what do you and your wife do in Berlin?
Yeah.
So my wife and I with a team, we pastor a church in Berlin. But it didn't start out as a church. So the first thing God spoke to us like 14 years ago was to start prayer, day and night prayer in former East Berlin. So Berlin was separated. Tomorrow, and we celebrate 30 years of the Berlin Wall coming down.
Wow.
And so God spoke to us to start day and night prayer in former East Berlin.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. And so did you know about IHOP at that time? Obviously, IHOP had been doing that in day prayer, but you're saying that you felt that in your heart?
Yeah, I mean, it was different things. I didn't know about IHOP. I have heard about like the idea of day and night prayer. I cannot even tell you where that came, but I really saw it then in the Bible. I saw David. Wow. I saw the thing, what they did to carry
the Ark of the Covenant.
So, and God's presence and what that did to David's kingdom and later on. And so I saw it in the Bible, heard about it, and then I heard about there is a house in America. They pray day and night since 6-7 years back then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible. It's funny you say that because in talking to different churches, different congregations around the world, they too didn't know about IHOP. But it was all around the same time they started reading the word and they're like, oh, wow, wait.
Yeah.
David did something special here, and suddenly it started to burn in their hearts. And so you had all these different houses of prayer pop up, which weren't associated with IHOP.
No, that's right. You know, we have a class here, the Theology of Night and Day Prayer, and we look at how God is doing this all over the earth. Because most people, when I meet them, I tell them that I'm part of the International House of Prayer. They say, "Oh, we know one of your churches near our country or near our town," and I'm like, "No, we only have one.
Yeah, we don't have any sisters
in Kansas City." You know, like, but most people think that we have some sort of genius organization or a brand, but it's not the case. The Lord is doing this all over the earth. Well, that really encourages me.
No, it's so cool. So you started a house of prayer. Is that right? Or is it more the let's pray at some point?
Yeah, I mean, actually it didn't, like I would not have considered myself so much a prayer person. Like I got saved and I was so overwhelmed, like 2002, right before I moved to Berlin, I got saved. And coming out of, we're lost, but I feel I was really lost. So I was so overwhelmed by that. And the same with my wife. And so the first thing is we really wanted to see people getting saved. So that was really our heart. And it's even with the verse in Amos and what Peter says later in Acts, that when he says like the tabernacle of David, although it may have different approaches, what it means will be restored so that the rest of mankind will seek the Lord. So it was more, we want to see revival. We want to see a nation turn to God. And in that context, it was clear, so probably we have to pray then for that as well.
Right.
So that was way more the approach in the beginning. And then I read a book about Rhys Howells, the
intercessor, yeah,
famous intercessor. And in the German version, they don't have the context about the war. I don't know if you know those.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, no, they put it out because it was too controversial. Yeah. I mean, because he caused the Second World War, the battle about Britain, and they took it out in the German version.
Gosh.
And
so
I had found no idea. Yeah. Wow.
So with that, I realized, okay, God is really, prayer is necessary for that. And in that context, then God started to speak to us. Okay, start prayer, day and night prayer in former East Berlin. Mm-hmm. And so this is then how we started. But of course, we didn't start as a house of prayer. We were part of a bigger church in Berlin.
Okay.
And they said, hey, go in that direction, stay, be part of that church, just start praying there. And so that's what we did once a week, one evening. Six people.
Wow.
Some of them just came to have another meeting. One girl always fell asleep and was
you
not so glorious in the beginning.
Hey, no. I got to say, I've fallen asleep a few times in the prayer room.
Oh, don't tell Mike.
I'm like trying to pull off one of those night watch heroic moments and I'm like, I started naming, you know, like when I slept, that I was meditating. So
yes,
good on
that's
you.
Yeah.
You were sloking.
Yeah, that's right.
You're like head and agreeing on something.
Your head nods, and it's like
That's amazing. What I actually love is the 4 and 5 member prayer groups that are consistent. Because there's something so sweet when there's just a couple of you. You're doing it so faithfully, and you're not showing up because of the people, you're showing up because of God.
Yeah.
And I think God breathes so sweetly on that because you're just doing it out of a desire. No one knows you're doing it. No one is streaming you as you pray. And so I love that. So so when did that start? Like,
so that was October 2005.
Okay. Yeah. So when you look at it now, what do you see?
Yeah, you see when... It's really when you have, I had some prophetic encounters in the time before. So I had a picture what God wants to do in our city, in our nation. And then when you sit 5-6 people there, it doesn't look so much like what I had seen. So in the beginning was really what you just described. No, we're here. We love you. We want that. We stick with it. And so we did that like really 1, 2, 3 years. It grew a bit, but not much. Mm-hmm. And then out of that, and that's maybe the interesting thing, is we really felt again that burden. No, but we cannot only pray. We want to see get people saved. So we, with that group, we started to do outreaches. So we prayed and we did outreaches. Then people started to get saved. Then some of them were so broken, we realized, okay, we need to not only pray with them and meet them once a week. So we took them in our house. We lived in a big community house and we wrote a program for them to live with us and stay with us. And so a certain dynamic started so that a lot of people were attracted. Now suddenly, not a lot. I mean, there are some... Berlin, Germany is still a bit different than some other places.
Right.
But people started to come and suddenly a momentum started. And... But it was not only the prayer part of the movement. So that's what I said. I'm pastoring a local church which prays now day and night since 3 years. But we're not a house of prayer like IHOP is. But we're a day and night praying local church. So and so that developed out of that time.
Wow. Sorry, I'm getting distracted by your Bible right now because I see that it's in English, right?
No, it's German.
Oh, it just has similar letters. Shows you how much I know.
No, if anything, Ruben, you're just bilingual when it comes to reading.
Yeah, I'm just, you know what?
See English.
Yeah, I just see English and Spanish and all at the same time.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the
Johannine, No, thank you for showing me your Bible there. It's impressive. My primary language is Spanish. So I learned the Bible in Spanish, so it's always nice to find
Johannine,
people.
Maybe,
Juan in Spanish.
Juan.
No, but it's just really cool to see how, you know, the gospel is taking root in every tribe and every language all over the earth. And so that's really cool to see that.
And it's
different
fine.
Language in your Bible.
So, I mean, this is quite a broad question, but the church as a whole in Europe, how are they responding to day and night prayer and even the larger message, not the larger message, the other message of the end times? Do you feel like there's an overarching consensus in that way?
Okay, I mean, I would not say that my now answer is the answer or the ultimate answer, but I mean, day and night prayer, 24/7 prayer, this is definitely a topic all over the world, as you described. I mean, you see, it is the Holy Spirit who birthed it everywhere. And so in Europe, in Germany, everywhere, there are initiatives of houses of prayer. We need to focus on prayer. I mean, they're not all running day and night, but you see houses of prayer are birthed everywhere.
Yeah.
Like mushrooms.
There you go. We spring up wherever you need us.
Very good. So, but the other part, what you mentioned, like the end time message, I would not say that this is a big topic or that there is a great awareness of it so far. I mean, you have listeners from everywhere, so it's not totally hidden, but it's not a topic. It's not mainstream. Yeah. It's not what people are looking after in a big way.
Right.
There are some groups. They often are elderly, and often it's then a, I'm not saying that in a critical or arrogant way, but it's often way more a strange approach, and it's so end times is more okay, you live on a mountain, store enough water,
alarmist.
So yeah. But it's so there is missing something.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah, so you feel like there's only a couple of people who get it and that's it. There's not a Europe as a whole is wanting it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, even getting it is the question. I would not say, they got it 100%, but there are some like diving into it and seeking it and maybe even that being drawn by the Holy Spirit. So even when I look at my own life, I see, the Holy Spirit started to put an emphasis on this and years ago. And for years, I read, I prayed, I meditated on it. I learned, I listened. And so God starts to bring that message up. So I believe it's a time where it's not the mainstream topic, but that the Holy Spirit is really about to increase the volume on it.
Yeah.
That's good.
So how does that impact, not just what you do, but why is the end times message, what I mean by that is the message of Jesus's glorious return. How is that fueling what you do? Is it at all? Because I know you're doing a lot of this community living and all these different initiatives as the Lord is, adding fruitfulness to your ministry. Would you say, why is it important to study the end times from your perspective?
Okay, I mean, good question. I mean, several reasons. I mean, one thing is really Jesus is coming back is a glorious fact in itself, which is not so much talked about. I mean, he is coming back and he is also the final solution for this planet. I mean, we see so much problems, wars and everything. And when you read Matthew 24, it says this gospel of the kingdom will be preached until the ends of the earth. Yeah, so one aspect, it's not, I always felt, it's the gospel, the good news of the cross. Jesus saves. Right. Everyone will hear Jesus saves. And that's powerful and real. But it says, no, the gospel, the good news of his kingdom, of his reign established on earth, this will be preached everywhere. Then the end will come. So, I mean, that is exciting somehow to see. No, there is a solution. And this is also, for me, very evangelistic.
I see.
So, can I continue?
Yeah. Or
so, for me, the thing is, even when I talk to people, when we do outreach, is that coming kingdom, I can manifest it right now. He is coming. There is a big solution, but he is here now. His kingdom is at hand now. So, another part of who we are as a local church is we love the power encounters of the Holy Spirit, like the kingdom of God manifesting right now. So some years ago, it just suddenly started more and more that miracles broke out, people got healed.
Wow.
So looking to the big picture of the kingdom is not only a far away look or, one day, but it's no.
Right.
There is an evidence right now where we can encounter this kingdom right now. So this is another aspect why I think it's good to have the bigger picture of God's kingdom coming, which is the end time message.
Yeah. Right.
And then there is the whole other part. There is an increasing conflict and you can see it. I mean, I'm very positive. I'm not fearful, but you can see that things are growing in my own nation, certain dynamics, laws being made, which are very anti-Jesus, anti-truth, and that it even starts, it could cost you more and more to speaking up for that truth.
Yeah.
And I believe, like, I love Bethel. We love them in Germany. I love what they do.
How do you say Bethel in German?
We say Bethel.
Oh, I think we can all speak German today then.
No, I mean, you would say the word in the Bible, the city is called Bethel.
Bethel.
That's actually more close to the Hebrew. So there
you go. It's pretty close to the English one too. So, sorry, I interrupted you.
But if you say Bethel, you know, oh, it's not a biblical city. It's the city in Reddy. It's a church in Reddy. So I love that, and I love that positive view. Like, I think we can change society. We should change society. And I'm not saying this is the day stand for that so much, but I see a lot of people in Germany who love that message of kingdom now healing.
Right.
And they make conferences, call it happy end times at the same time. So in the context is, hey, it will, the goodness of God will increase and overtake. I don't say this is like Bethel one-to-one statement at all. That's not my point. But I see they love the kingdom of God so much now, and the part is they say everything which is written in Matthew and so on, Revelation, it happened already. Now is the kingdom of God is increasing and taking over. And on one hand, that's true, but I believe there is another narrative as well.
Actually, what I find so provoking about them is that they are wanting all of it now.
Yes.
They're wanting the healings, they're wanting the miracles. And I find that provoking in my life. I'm like, I don't live day to day asking the Lord for it. Huge miracles and huge salvations, and I need that more in my life. So I love that.
Yeah, and another thing that's really provoking, to your point, is that they end up asking for more of that.
Yeah,
like they end up believing for more of that because they think that they're getting. Well, and the truth is that we have access to more than what we normally ask. Mm-hmm. And so, I think, again, it's the body of Christ, right? Yeah. So together, each part, God highlights different things. And one of the great assignments that Bethel has, and I'm glad we're bringing them up because I always love to brag on Bethel, is how they've encouraged the body of Christ to believe in the love of the Father and have boldness, therefore, to ask their Father for the things that He already wills to do. And that's taken the whole world by storm, and it's been beautiful. But I see what your other concern is, like, it's like any father is like, you can have some miracles sometimes, but you'll get some discipline too. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, like, get ready, there's going to be winter and you can't just get food from the garden anymore. Now you got to figure out how to store it up so there's the scriptures speak of times coming, and it's not all getting better in the sense that we think it's getting better. It's getting better in the sense that it's getting closer to the day when Jesus will return and rule as king. Yeah. That's better for sure. I believe that one.
Yes, Lord.
but there are things that we wouldn't call better, like suffering and persecution and affliction and those kinds of things, hunger and death and all kinds of warnings that Jesus said right before Matthew 24:14, right? That say, and then the end will come. Because so it's important to understand the narrative, right?
Yeah.
Yes, kingdom now. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's believe for it. Let's pray for the sick. Let's pray. Let's set captives free. Jesus asked us to do this, right? But at the same time, hey, there's a time coming.
Yes.
Yeah. And the darkness will grow darker. This will be the day of the greatest glory for the church. So repent.
Yes.
And walk in holiness. You know, be sanctified because only that will stand at the end. And of course, we wait for the day when Jesus will return. And so,
definitely.
So I love that you're seeing the both and, Christoph.
Yeah.
That blesses me
so
a lot.
Good.
Because typically when we see the other side, we tend to
either or.
Yeah, like you only get access to one, and that you're going out and doing these power encounters, yet at the same time bringing them into this place of intercession, awaiting the appearing of the Lord. I mean, that's balance right there.
Seriously, it's so good.
Very good.
I'm very encouraged by that.
That's
very encouraged.
So cool.
So what would you say are some of the scriptures that, other than Matthew 24:14, that have anchored you along your journey of, you know, leading a local church and, of course, a prayer initiative in your city?
I mean, there's several. I just opened, like, in Isaiah 60, where it says, which is, again, the topic, I mean, the glory of God rises upon you. Yes, he speaks back then to Israel and so on. But we see a picture, but deep darkness covers the earth. So for me, this is, again, one of those realities, what Jesus said. I mean, both things will grow to maturity. And so in the midst of conflict, of darkness, he's raising up light and a bride without mixture, people who know him, who love him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, saying that, it's that I love that verse in Daniel where it says, like, I hope in German I got them. I sometimes my translation.
No, so go ahead and say it in German. She'll translate for us.
Totally, I will. Let me just turn there in my Bible.
But the people who knows their God, they will do great exploits. Is it like
that?
So and so seeing, okay, being someone who knows God, who knows his ways, but in that context also understands the times. I mean, Jesus so often said, and he said, like, he spoke to the Pharisees and he said, hey, it's so important. If you see certain things, you know about the weather, but you are called to understand times and to see it and to get understanding. So this brings me up. There is a seriousness in it where I feel, I want to be someone who understands times, who has your word, not only some verses, but Psalm 119, where it says the... die Summe deines Wortes ist Wahrheit, you know?
Oh, of course, got it.
I think we all feel the same way.
Yes, amen. So it means the fullness of your word or the whole picture of your word is truth. So it's one verse, but the overall picture. So being someone who knows the Lord, like Daniel says, Jesus who say, understand the times and all those things, the parable of the virgins, like being a man, a group, living in the intimacy with the Holy Spirit, knowing him personally as my friend, but also so being someone who is anointed, like who is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul's praying without ceasing, like being in continuously, like in that, living that out. I mean, I could...
The list goes on.
Yes, I could continue for an hour.
So I want to understand a little bit more about how you... because I know you've been associated or at least friends with us for a few years. You said around our 5th or 7th anniversary is when you first came to know us. And now we're at our 20th. So it's been 15 years or something like that. So so what have you done in Germany to, like, do you have a messaging platform where you preach the gospel of the kingdom, or is it just your local church context? Is it your prayer ministry? Like, I'm trying to get an understanding of what you do in Germany, because all I can think of is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You know, how do you say it?
Very good. Bonhoeffer.
Bonhoeffer,
yeah.
Almost. Yeah, lovely.
You know, I mean, I'm inspired by a lot of his writings. And so I'm trying to get a clear picture of what Berlin is like today in 2019, not what I imagined in my head, because I've never been there. So.
Okay, yeah. So, like, for us, it really all began in that local church. So what God downloaded to me, it's a bit like here, you start a ministry, God speaks to you, he gives you some key points, life message. So this whole thing for me is really, it's day and night prayer, it's the kingdom of God in power, and it's intimacy. That's maybe the three things. In the context of the bigger picture, Jesus is returning.
Okay.
And so I have, like, different hats. Like, I have a local church hat where I teach on... from finances to the gifts of the Holy Spirit how do you have your time and hearing God. And then, of course, I talk about day and night prayer and seasons. I talk about like Jesus and his glorious return. So that was all in the context of, we have an academy in our church. So from Sunday to academies to one-to-one on our leaders, that was the main thing I did in the last years.
Okay.
And then like 3, 4, 5. So I came with my wife the first time here 13 years ago for one thing, 2006. We stayed here 1 month with Robin and Bianca Van Omen back then. And there I was handed the prophetic story of IHOP. Like, Robin gave me the 12 series from 2002, the long version.
Is that the best one? I think that's the best one, right?
It's really good. I don't know all the others, but I always hear it's the
good.
Well, it depends on how long you've been here.
That's true.
You get different opinions, but I would say that's a really good one.
So a very good one, yeah. So, but that struck my heart. I mean, because it's part of the prophetic story. Yes, it's Kansas, your stadium and the parade you will have here. And there is, of course, there's a bigger application, but that's Kansas. Mm-hmm. But in that story, there is so much. This is the story and narrative God is writing in the nations.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And I really felt, no, when I heard that back then, I knew that has something to do with your life. So for 13 years, I mean, I don't know how often I heard that it was called Encountering Jesus, I guess.
Yeah, Encountering Jesus,
So I heard it like 10 times. I don't know how often I heard it.
That's so cool.
When Mike always says, Wes Campbell knows the story very well, I think I do as well. Let me tell it.
That's awesome. I love that. That blesses me.
And with that, I felt that story, like, is it Psalm 76 or 78? It says, like, recount the stories to your kids so that they know the stories, that they don't turn in the day of battle, that they, like, run with it. And I felt some years ago, we should tell those stories in Germany, in Europe again. I mean, I don't know if we go there, but there part of that is that threefold prophecy of Paul Kane, and which was about communism breaking down, and then for a later time, what God was about to do, in, like the enemy wants to do in Europe, and what God is doing. He's raising up day and night prayer, a victorious church. And as I said, this death blow to communism, which Paul Kane prophesied in June 88, it's tomorrow, it's 30 years.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, this was the death punch he gave to communism. Yeah. Soviet Union crumbled out of that. So this story is so real to me, like, not only with what happened, because it was with a future aspect, that I felt we should talk about those stories and make them known.
Oh, wow.
And out of that, it came that through, I had a meeting with Mike 2 years ago, and out of that, I became friends with Wes Hall, who was part of IHOP for many years.
Yeah, and beloved Wes.
Yeah. And we started a conference called Dreieinhalb, which means three and a half. We don't say why we call it three and a half. You can have your own opinion what it means. But we just call it Dreieinhalb. So, and we started to say we're going to do it over several years and just start to talk about this prophetic story and develop the whole narrative from a prophetic standpoint, but way more from the biblical standpoint, and to bring that whole story back, or in a way, to our nation, our city, but in a way also, God will see how far that will go. But in the first place, it was for our city, our nation, to bring that story back, but then also in the European context.
Oh, gosh. Wow. So have you done just one event like this?
So we did it twice now. So okay. We just had it 4 weeks ago, the second one, and now we're planning the next year.
And how have the people responded to the second one that you just did?
No, it's not the mainstream topic. Like, if you think about Awakening Europe, they fill a stadium, and so, which is beautiful. So it is not the major topic, and neither, so it develops. But those who were there the last 2 years, this is just exciting because people, I mean, what we prayed is that we're going to go deep in the Word. We're going to talk about those stories. But we love, as I mentioned, the presence and the working of the Holy Spirit. So we asked the Holy Spirit. We had a lot in place, but we had a lot of space for him to show up in a very sovereign way.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. Wow. And that made it very beautiful, so that we go deep in the Word, but suddenly the Holy Spirit breaks in and we had healings, God touched people, laughing, crying, establishing things. And so this mixture was very excited. So even for people who maybe are not so aware of the story yet, they get excited about what the Holy Spirit does and did.
That's incredible.
That's so cool.
Excuse me. You're mentioning a minute ago how, I totally have something in my throat, how we're supposed to recall the stories and say them time and time again and tell them to our children so they can stay in the way of the Lord. So a lot of people listening have kids or know people that have kids. How would you encourage us to tell the stories that may not necessarily be our own, but the stories that so encourage us to stay in the Word of God and to stay in His truth? How would you encourage us to teach it to our kids?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I mean, as you said, it's not, in a way, it's not my story, but as, like, to quote Mike, he would say it's not his story. I mean, he is a storyteller, but it's, in the end, it's really, it's Jesus, his story.
Yeah,
and of course, we don't put it on the same level than the Word of God, but it's a story. And Paul says to Timothy, trust me because you know me. So there is some aspects where you say, okay, I know a person, I see the fruit for decades. And so just recently I heard a man, Sam Storm, saying about Mike Bickle. He said, like, either this man is totally demonized and made all of that up, or it's a God story.
Yeah.
So if a God story, I can take it and I run with that God story. Yeah. So I run with it and I tell it my kids. I tell them I'm fascinated. And I guess if you're fascinated about something,
the fire keeps burning.
It keeps burning to them. So my kids know the story and they love me and ask me. And
that's so cool.
How did that happen?
You're referring to some blogs that he released, right? Sam Storms, Dr. Sam Storms. He's like a pastor in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he attended our symposium that we held back in November of 2019. But there is he wrote a couple blog articles, right, about Mike Bickle and about IHOP. Is that what you're referring
to? Yeah, I mean, I didn't read that blog article. I heard about them, but back at that symposium, I heard him say this is where he mentioned it, where he said that.
I guess I didn't catch that.
Yeah, and he said that he felt like he wants to use even this platform he has in the nation, in your nation. I mean, I have not heard of him back in Europe, but that's maybe my problem. But he wants to use that platform to really also tell those stories and retell those stories because they are true, and he believes God said it and they will come to pass. Yeah. It's a Jesus story. He said, Mike Bickle is a man of integrity, but he said, even if he would fail, it's a Jesus story, and that's why I believe we can.
That is so tell good. It. Well, you know, we want to. I actually do remember those blogs, but I want to put that link on this so that way you can find it by Sam Storms. We'll find it. I'm sure it's on his website somewhere, but we'll include it here for you so you don't have to look for it. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to put a link to our symposium because you brought it to mind, and we have it. You know, we went through this live experience for those online, but those of you who didn't get to catch it, I want to make it available to you because it was a really remarkable time. A lot of scholars talked about their eschatological perspectives, and one of them was Sam Storms, who happens to be an amillennialist, but he's a friend. You know, he's a friend awesome. Who loves Mike, and so anyway, that was a So anyway, I'm going to go back and try to find that. I don't remember that. So I'd love to hear what he had to say. But anyway.
I love it. You're saying it's Jesus' story, which it for sure is. But I also love it because his story becomes our story in the sense of every apostolic prayer we see, it's including the saints and what they get to experience, the width, the length, the depth, the height, to comprehend together with the saints. And so it's his story. He gets the glory, but we get to be a part of it. So you telling your kids and them receiving it as their own, they're part of the story now. Yeah. They get to rejoice and be a part of the glory that comes with that. So I love that.
Now, so obviously this all culminates in God's greatest story, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I love that because it's you know, he gives hints here, and all of us have stories to tell of our encounters with God and how he spoke a measure of his truth to us, and when we share that with each other, it brings courage to us, right?
Yeah.
But then there's the greater story of the grand drama of human history, from creation to culmination, that we share in that. Because right now in 2020, 2019, 2020, 2021, right, these years that we're in right now, it's like it seems like there's a transition happening in human history where there's more traction in the kingdom of light, but there's also more traction in the kingdom of darkness. And and so we're seeing the increase of darkness and the increase of the power of the church at the same time. It's like the great falling away and the great harvest is happening simultaneously, or at least the precursor of that. But I just love that this is actually about telling the greater story and not just the smaller story, which we need the smaller stories to give us courage.
Yeah. No, but you're exactly right. I mean, that's really those two things. You see a prophetic story, but you see, well, God really started something, what I can see in here.
Right.
Where I see, no, I see that. I see it in his word. I see how it's developing. And it gives me courage to see, okay, God is in the story. He still is alive and speaking in the story.
No, I love that. And I'm also just thinking how often technology can be used for the evil, but actually technology is such a God-given thing too, because you in Germany get to be encouraged by us here at IHOP as we pray for Europe, and then we in turn get encouraged by you as we're like, oh, they're doing it in Germany too, they're praying, they're studying the word of God. Oh my gosh, as brothers and sisters across the nations, we get to encourage each other through technology, thank the Lord.
Yeah, no, truly. So okay, so you're a local church pastor. Of course, God looks like he's raising you up for other things, as you said, multiple hats. And that I can understand that. It's not an easy task. You know, it's almost better to have one hat, but when the Lord speaks and asks you to do something, we're just sons of about our Father's business. We say, yes, sir, we'd love to, you know. So I love that about you. How would you encourage a local church pastor to tell the story to their congregation? You know, because as you say, we got to talk about finances and how to give and how to be generous and how to have a budget. And we got to talk about raising children and about how to pray to God, how to sneak in 5 minutes before work. There's, you know what I'm saying? You have a bigger, but how would a local church pastor share the gospel of the kingdom to their congregation? Like, how would you encourage them to do that practically?
I mean, I don't know if I'm quoting it right. And again, I don't have it in English, but there is this saying where it says, like, if you want people or man to build a ship, like, plant in them the desire for the sea, for the ocean. So, and that's somehow, for me, the whole thing is, I cannot start with the small. So for me, the bigger picture of Jesus, his reign, he's coming, he's establishing it, that's for me so central. And then out of that, like, is, okay, I'm a son of him. So the next topic for me is intimacy with Jesus. Like, for me, like, all this work I'm doing, I realized very early, I don't want to be busy for Jesus. I want to really stay close to him, experience him on a daily basis. So for me, again, like, what is the best thing a local pastor can give to his church? Like, train them how they can be really connected to the Lord, to the friend, to the Father in heaven. How does that look like? So, and for me, this is like a one-to-one topic, but it plays into the big storyline at the same time. So it's both. I mean, if you believe Jesus comes in 500 years or in 50 years, know him.
Yeah.
I mean, even a follow-up question of that, so how do you bring your people into praying? I mean, the main way to do it is to demonstrate it and they should follow, but how are you pulling your congregation into actually praying?
I mean, I guess for me, the major point which I taught in the years is really to give an understanding. It's not like God just calls us, like, do pray. It's not a mundane work or, okay, you don't know what to do, just pray. So what is at the root of, like, when we're not talking about intimacy and encountering Jesus in a personal way, when I'm talking about intercession, praying and taking a stand, is really that I teach people why things are dependent on our prayers. Oh, I mean, I believe in a sovereign God, but Paul says, I wanted to come two times, but Satan hindered me.
Oh, yeah.
So he says, hey, pray for that. Like, pray with me, make it available. Or God said to Elijah, I want it to rain again. And I would think, okay, then push the button.
Like, you can make it rain.
You make it. But Elijah starts praying. So pray, I hear what God wants to do, and I have the understanding that we as people of God have authority to agree what God wants to do. And when that was planted, I believe if that is planted as a seed, then prayer rises up as a fruit of it, and people do it,
Right. If they have the vision, then they can thrive.
Yeah,
if they
and don't understanding. Have the vision, so, yeah, it makes sense, and I make a difference.
Yeah. That's incredible. I love that. So you just planted a seed in them, let the Holy Spirit water and let it grow, and fruitful church that prays. Just like that.
Just like
that. Super easy.
Yeah, just, you know, it's a formula. It all works.
Works in every church, right?
Of course, there are many challenges that many of you are facing in your local church context, and we stand with you, and we just want you to know that we're part of a family, you know? And so we're so honored, Christoph, that you would have come and shared of what God is doing in Berlin and how the message of God's story from this house, but the greater story of Matthew 24:14, and of course you were talking about Isaiah 60, and just that God is here. He wants us to be those that carry his power and release it upon those that he loves, of course the whole world, that they might come into salvation, but we all look to that day when he'll return and establish his rule forever and ever. I just love that. So thank you for coming and sharing. And, you know, I love that. I mean, it looks like you have three children and a wife, so they're lending you to us for this moment. And so
Thank you. You
made a long trek out here.
Seriously.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's been a privilege. Much. And just another word of encouragement for you. If your church or if you and your family do 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week praying, you are a house of prayer. You do not need to look like IHOP. We encourage you to look like you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you're 24/7, that's what the Lord has called us to do, and God will give you what he has called you to do. So you are a house of prayer. If it's 1 hour, 1 day, 4 days, 2 people, 100 people, you're a house of prayer. You carry the Lord's heart. So you're incredible. We love you, our audience, and thank you for joining us today. Please, if you haven't seen our previous podcast, go find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, any outlet that you have for your podcast. And we look forward to seeing you next week, Friday, 2 p.m. Central Time.
We'll see you then. Peace.